Good morning again. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's wonderful to see everyone's smiling faces. And we know we're just men, we're just feeble, we're flesh, and we can do nothing without the grace and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But thus far, the singing has been a blessing to me. I hope it has been to you. We sang songs of revival. I asked Israel, I know he likes that song. I think his mother likes to sing it too, to lead that revivalist again. And I've told you before, it's one of my favorites. I want to read some of the words real quick. I hope I don't wear you out, but let's look at 2:11. Just open your book up and let's talk about what this song talks about. And this kind of ties in with some of my thoughts I've got on my mind this morning. If the Lord is leading me that way, I ask that you continue to pray. I asked Brother Matt when I told him that I was going to speak today, I said, I'm empty. I have nothing. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he says, I understand, because he's been in this position too. And coming to the house of the Lord, to come before the Lord's saints, and they're expecting you to say something or preach to them or give them something, and you feel lost. You feel like you're on a boat out in the middle of the ocean, just floating along, and you don't know which way to turn. You don't even have a paddle. So if y'all pray for me, maybe the Lord will bless us all. 2:11, we, I like that right there. We, it's not I, we praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. We praise thee, God, for thy Son, the Son of your love. He came down and he died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Y'all have heard me say this before, but when you ask somebody to do something again, what does that mean? You've experienced it before. He's revived. It's happened before. We're asking the Lord to revive us again. We know that he's able, don't we? We know he has the power to revive us. And we're asking him and begging him this morning to revive us. And as we went through that song service, I could feel the revival coming forward as we were choosing songs and singing praises to his name. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. What's he talking about? Thy spirit of light, the spirit of the Lord. When the Lord sends his spirit into your heart, what happens? You're regenerated. Your eyes are open. You see the Lord as he is, and you understand. It's thy spirit of light who has shown us our Savior. You're able to see your Savior and scattered our nights. Our nights are no longer dark. We have hope now. We understand when that spirit opens your heart and opens your eyes, you can see and understand. Third verse, all glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne some of our sins and has cleansed some of our stain. No? I say something wrong? who has borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. He didn't leave any of your sins out when he died on that cross. He didn't leave anything left for you to do when it comes to your eternal salvation and your destiny. He bore it all. That's a song, isn't it? Well, let's sing that. He bore all our sins and has cleansed every stain. You may feel like you've got stains all over you from your sin. No, you don't. When it comes to the sin from the Lord looking at you, you're clean. You're cleansed. Now, we feel like we're not good enough to be around the Lord's people sometimes. You feel like I'm not good enough to do this. But let me tell you, children, that sin that you may be concerned about or worried about, it's not remembered. It's clean. It's gone. You say, how can that be, Brother Gary? You don't know what I've done in my life. You don't know the things that I've done. And it can't be so that he cleansed all those sins. Yeah, he did. If you've been given the grace to see and know and understand about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have a desire to come out and be among His people, sing praises to His name, I'm telling you that's a gift of the Lord. He has cleansed every one of your sins, and the stains are gone. There's no stain. You understand that? You're white as snow. The sun goes whiter than snow, the beautiful snow. Nobody needs to hang around and say, you know, I'd like to be part of Midland Church, but they probably wouldn't want me to be a part of it because if they find out what I did when I did this or they knew this or that, they're not going to want me to be there. Well, that's a bunch of, I started to say baloney. How about malarkey? No, anyway, that's wrong. If you're waiting, if you have a desire to be part of this church, now becoming part of this church, what does it do for you? I mean, is it going to give you a ticket to heaven? Anybody? No, everybody's saying no, that's good. Y'all been paying attention to Brother Richards and Brother Green. It doesn't give you a ticket to heaven. There's nothing you can do within yourself to gain a ticket to heaven. It's an answer of your good conscience toward your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Your conscience, you're saying, you understand that He bore your sins. He paid your debt. He did it for you, and you appreciate it. You're still sorry for your sins, but you want to do what He wants you to do, and He wants you to take up your cross and follow after Him, follow Him in baptism. And we're going to talk about some of the things that He's asked us to do. Fourth verse, revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. As we were singing this morning, I could feel everybody's heart being full, filled up with love, and being rekindled, hopefully with fire from above. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. You know, it's referring to the Son of His love. What was His name? Jesus, right? The angel appeared to Mary and Joseph and told them that Mary was going to have a child and thou shalt call His name Jesus. He didn't say call Him Jesus Christ. He said thou shalt call His name Jesus. For, because He shall save His people from their sins. Now, a second grade student who has any sense could tell you what that means. For He, who? Jesus, shall, that means without a shadow of a doubt, it's going to happen, it will happen, save His people. Well, His people, He must have a people, right? From what? Their sins. We just talked about that. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Well, I was wondering about, or thinking about, studying about the name of Jesus and the fact that He is the Christ, Jesus Christ. And I looked up, I wanted to know how many times does Christ appear in the Bible? And I got to admit, I was wondering if it appeared in the Old Testament. You know, the name Christ does not appear in the Old Testament. He's in there throughout the whole book. But Christ appears 19 times in the New Testament. And I want to talk about those instances that He appears when the name Christ appears. And I'll read these to you. If you want to try to follow along in your Bible, that's great. But Matthew 16 and 16. Christ asked the apostles, Who do y'all say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And on down in 16 and 20, then charged he the disciples that they should not tell no man that he was Jesus, the Christ. Christ is the title. Christ is who he was, is what he was. The best explanation I like for the name Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah, the Redeemer. Throughout the Old Testament, he's referred to as a Redeemer. A Redeemer is mentioned. The Messiah is mentioned. Anointed One is mentioned. And all of these instances, they're referring to Christ. In 26:63, but Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Here they explained it themselves. The Christ is the Son of God, the anointed one. Mark 8:29, and he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and saith again, thou art the Christ, the same as up in Matthew. Mark 14:61. He held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Here the high priest of the Jews knew what the Christ was, knew who the Christ would be. They looked for their Redeemer, their Messiah, the Christ. But they expected Christ to be what? Come riding in on a big horse with trumpets and knives and swords, and destroy the enemies of Israel and restore the kingdom, the throne, and Christ would sit on his throne on this earth, and all of the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes would wear their robes gathered around him. That's what they were expecting. But that's not what happened, was it? How did he appear? He appeared in a manger. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. There was nothing about him that was, he was comely. He was not a beautiful thing in the status of the way we see beauty. But he was a beautiful thing, a blessing to his people. It's mentioned several times in the New Testament about Peter and the apostles being questioned about who do you call me? And they always answered, thou art the Christ. In Acts 2:38, let's look at that real quick. Here the Apostle Peter uses the name of Jesus and Christ, his title, together. Let's read the 38th verse of 2nd chapter of Acts, and then let's go back and kind of bring things forward, how we got there. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is a popular verse that is used by some of the secular religions out in the world. One in particular, they use this as their banner that they go to all the time. They say, look here, it says, if you repent and you be baptized for the remission of your sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You'll receive that new birth. And they try to defend this adamantly. You know, this is written. This is it. This is truth. Well, we need to read that. Read it just like it is. We don't want to change anything about it. But let's see if we can change with the intent there. Christ is the anointed one. The angel said, you'll call his name Jesus. Christ is who he is. That's his title. That's what he's come to earth to do, to be the anointed one, the Redeemer. So let's read it. And when we say the name Christ, let's call it what it is, the anointed one. Does that make sense? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, the anointed one, for the remissions of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Does that change the thing completely around? There's even a comma after sins. You're supposed to stop right there. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, for the remissions of sins, comma, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Christ took care of the remissions of your sins. He was anointed for your sins. I hope I'm making this clear. Repent in the name of Jesus, who was anointed for your sins. You can't repent, you can't acknowledge something if you don't see it and you don't understand it. If you haven't been born of the Spirit of God. Now we go back over into John, 3rd chapter. I think our pastor mentioned this last week. How does the Spirit of God come into you? Is it that repentance that Peter was talking about there? No, repentance is something that somebody that's been born of the Spirit of God can do. Repentance is something somebody alive can do. If somebody is dead, and I'm talking spiritually, you can't do anything spiritually if you're dead spiritually. In the 3rd chapter of John, we go here a lot. It's been preached in this stand by many, many, many ministers, and I enjoy hearing it over and over and over. Nicodemus, he was let's just read and get down to where I want to be because I can't pull it out exactly. There was a man, 3rd chapter, John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles thou doest except God be with you. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, and we're talking about born of the Spirit of the God, you can't see anything spiritual or the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, when Peter told them to repent and be baptized, the ones that were born of the Spirit of God were the only ones that could repent. Let's go back to 2:38 and let's read up in the further up before that verse. Hopefully I can tie all this together. Peter's preaching to them, and he's telling them that this Christ, this Jesus that you have crucified, was in fact the Christ. Let's see if we can find it. 36th verse. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, who's listening? There were Jews there from all over Jewish kingdoms and all nations, where all the Jews were living, they had come together. It says here in the 9th verse, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and, I can't say that word, in Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. So that's who was there. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, there's the 38th verse, repent and be baptized. So the ones that were pricked in their heart are asking, men and brethren, what shall we do? For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Is he going to text you or give you a phone call? No. He's going to draw you with his power, with his spirit. He's going to call you. He's going to give you knowledge of him. There's a verse that kind of leaves me right now. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Now, the ones that were pricked in the heart were asking, what should I do? And he said, well, you need to repent. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, the anointed one, for your sins. You have been born of the Spirit of God. He didn't say that specifically like that, but that's what was happening. 41st verse, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So there were some that gladly received his words, and there were some that says, I don't know, I'll give you a be back button. I'll be back another time and we'll think about this. There were some that did not get pricked in their heart at that particular moment. But those that were, they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine? 3,000? I can't imagine. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them all men. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. This is the 47th verse. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, now, what salvation were we talking about? Peter told them earlier, you need to repent and be baptized. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Save yourself from the wickedness of this world that has taken your Christ, your Jesus, and crucified him. Acknowledge him. Take up your cross. Take up the acknowledgement of, when they say take up your cross, you don't have a physical cross to carry. But you're acknowledging the fact that Jesus is the Christ, and I believe it, and I understand that, and I love that, and I want to worship him and praise him. I want to do things like he would have me to do them. And you come and you listen to the preaching and you read the word. What would Christ have you do? How should I live my life? How should I act? So that gets me to another point. Y'all forgive me, I know I seem a little scattered, but I was wondering, what was I going to do? What was I going to talk about? Where was I going to go? I want us to read in Psalms 31. And this is a good thing to read. Those of you that have come to understand your condition, that you're a sinner, and that you have a Redeemer, you have a Christ, you have an anointed one who paid for your sins, and not part of them, all of them. And you need to be grateful, grateful for that debt that was paid. You know, how many of you ever had a car payment? Okay, all right. Most of you have had a car payment. Usually there's a lien on your car down at the bank or something, and every month you send in money. And that's a debt that you have. You owe that. Well, what if somebody was to go and pay that debt? Pay for that car. You don't owe a nickel on it anymore. Do you need to continue to pay towards that car? Is your debt paid completely, 100%? Is there anything for you to do for that car to be titled in your name now? Is there something you've got to do now since somebody else paid it off? Nothing. There's nothing. How can people stand in the pulpits across the world and say, Christ did all this, he paid for your debt, he did all of that, and this and that and other, and it's no good unless you do this, unless you do that. And they all have different ideals and different things that they use. And I'm not gonna pick on them. It's just the way that the world perceives our Christ. Are they bad people? No. No. They just have not come to an understanding, or they have not been given the light yet. Will they ever? I don't know. It's not up to me. It's up to the Lord. But their sins are no bigger than mine. One day they may be given understanding. We've talked about this, and I love talking about it. How many people are going to be in heaven? We don't know, do we? There's one group that says it's 144,000, but we're going to say it's a whole lot more than that. The Lord, the angel of the Lord, told Abraham that your seed shall be as the stars of the sky, the sands on the earth. It's many times it says it's a number no man can count. I've used this example, and I hope I don't wear it out. But let's just take the sands of the sea. Israel, let me ask you. If you was to start counting the sands on the sea, okay? You got a little table and a bucket, and you got this thing, you know, maybe like an hourglass. That'd be good. You can see the sand come down through there, you know? And you started counting. And after 8 or 10 years, you've gone all around the beaches of the world, and you've counted every grain of sand. And you come up with a number, right? You would come up with a number. You know what you forgot about? All the sand that's under the ocean. You've just started. And we're told that his people are as the sands of the sea, a number, and it says it, it's scripture, a number no man can count. Methuselah, if he started doing that when he was born, he lived, what, 900 and something years, how was it? 916? Okay. If he counted every day from the day he was born for 916 years until he died, he would not be able to count how many of God's people will be housed in heaven in eternal glory. Do you see that? How big a God do we serve? How powerful is he? And there's people to say, well, you know, he can't save me unless I do this and do that. And you tell people, if you have a love in your heart for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's because you're his. You are his. You already are. There's nothing you have to do. He paid the debt. He paid your sin debt. It's all done. There's not any debt left for you to pay. They say, well, Brother Gary, why does it say all this stuff about do this and do that? Well, that's what you need to do now. An answer of good conscience towards your Lord. You should be obedient. You should want to serve Him. You should want to honor Him, praise Him, do the things that He would have you to do. I'd love to see this house with twice the people we have here. Now, I said that about 6 months ago, and we had 12. And I said, I'd love to see this house filled with twice the people we have here. And I believe, yeah, some of you are counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's 12. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. So we've got twice and plus some of the people then. And I also said I would love to see it with people that have a desire to be here and coming out and wanting to praise and sing praises His name and honor His name and glorify the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe that's true. I believe every one of you that's here right now has that desire, or you wouldn't be here. So I said that a while back when there was 12. I just said it now when there's 28. So there's coming a day then, I have faith, that we're going to have 56 here in this building probably before the year is out. Is that a little aggressive? I don't know. It's not. It's not aggressive, is it? How are we going to do that? Well, we're all going to tell our brothers and sisters and neighbors and everything, say, come and see what we have at Midland Primitive Baptist Church. Come and hear about a Jesus that paid your debt, and He paid it all. There's nothing left for you to go do. Come out and hear that, understand it, learn about it. They may just come and see just for out of curiosity. What are these people saying? Everybody knows that you got to do something to pay something for some of your sins. That can't be right. Let's just go listen to that. Bring them out here. Bring them in. And by the way, we sing a cappella. They say, what? You don't have a band? You don't have a praise and worship band? I said, we sure do. We got a bunch of instruments. Well, okay, that's the praise and worship band. Yes, it is. It's our throats. It's our vocal cords. That's our instruments that we use to praise and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's perfect because He gave it to us. And we use what we have to praise Him and honor His name. I love the praise and worship band, especially in Big Spring, because they all come and buy stuff from my store, you know. And I say, y'all, man, y'all really go ahead, man. This, here you go. This system right here is only $4,000, you know. So I'm glad that they do that. I'm just kidding. But they sometimes they'll say, Brother Gary, I bet y'all have got a great praise and worship band at your church in Midland. I said, we sure do. And that's when I tell them about the perfect instruments we have and how we praise and worship the Lord perfectly, because we sing praises to His name and He hears it. You know, you may worry about your voice. You may not be able to sing a harmony just right. You may worry about singing the alto part on that song a while ago, you know. But the Spirit of the God translates that to heaven, and it's a sweet savior to our God. It's a beautiful sound. We don't sing for each other. We sing praises to Him, and it's a honoring to His name. I'm thankful for each and every one of you that today you got up and you come out to the house of the Lord.